been feeling kinda cooped up, cooped up. I'm trying to get some fresh air. Hey, why you got the roof out, roof out? You know it never rains here. Hey, you ain't got a flash or you're taking your picture. You ain't got to draw no extra attention. Paparazzi wanna shoot ya, shoot ya. Time for less down here.
For the cameras,
right.
Them doing fish bowling,
right.
100,000 on the passenger. See, I'm Kendrick Lamar, respect me from afar. I was made in this image, you call me a god. Everybody in attendance, I'm about to perform. Everybody get offended by the shit I got on. Like, can you buy that? Now 100 horse, can you drop that? A G5, can you fly that? I need 10 so I can look at the snakes and poses.
I need 10,
cause Bob Bob is non-disclosure.
I need 10
so I can live with a peace of mind without taking a peace of mind and peace to steal and not do fine. So fix the ticket, you pull me over and might see one of your
wait a moment as I turn on your microphone. Now, to start out, I just want to say Mr. Shelton Harris won't be with us this morning. He's usually one of our elder panelists who's been with us and helps us choose our music, right, and also gives a different perspective, right, on the topics that our young people actually discuss. I want to talk about Walter Pierce quickly and say that Walter's not with us. He's graduated from high school, and he has started summer session in college, and we're proud of him. But exceptionally proud. And I don't know if the other panelists and everyone knows this, but this upcoming weekend in Atlantic City, our own very own Walter Pierce will be competing nationally using his oratory skills, right, to win the gold nationally. So, you know, our hopes and prayers, well, you know, we're going to be confident about that. We're going to speak it into it. Our Walter's going to win that competition. He's coming back with something. We need him to come back with that gold. Right now, let me just have everybody just have a quick response, starting with Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, what do you think about the shout-out birthday to Mr. Harris and, you know, encouraging Walter?
Yeah, I give a shout-out to Mr. Harris. I want to encourage Walter. I know he's going to do great. He's a great orator, so he's going to do well. I look forward to having this great show. And that reminds me, my birthday is next weekend.
Okay. I don't know if you're going to be missing in action, but, you know, because, you know, brother, you always in our heart, you know, in our minds, and you know, an integral part of what we do here, right? Tanisha, shout out, birthday shout out, encouragement, talk to me.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mr. Harris. And Walter, he's definitely going to do a great job because this is his practice every Saturday and Sunday. So how great he does here is definitely going to show and show up when he does his competition.
Show up and show out, eh? Justin, any words of encouragement? Happy birthday, shout out. Go ahead, Justin. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Mr. Harris, and I think Walter is going to do a good job and win.
Okay. All right. I love it. Right. Let me just begin our show, okay, because we kind of like off the hook. It's summertime, and we're all feeling, you know, vibrant with the vibrant colors that we're able to wear and the sun shining. You know, we people are the sun. Well, anyway, I can ramble on forever. Let's get to our topic. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Journey of Quest Youth Radio as our student host, Justin Hill, provides us with his featured segment on history, definitions, and music. Elder panelists make comments on lesser-known people from our diaspora that we don't normally hear about. Now, that being said, music is like poetry and has a method. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves. Indeed. Vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective from our community. Now, before I bring on our first student host, here's our opening song. I need everyone to sit back, relax, and do one important thing, and that is wake up. And now, the real deal, Justin Hill, do what you do. I turn it over to you. Good morning again, Justin. Take it away for your first segment.
Good morning, everybody. It is your host, Justin Hill, on WSLU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was an African-American social performer, abolitionist, orator, writer, and statesman. After escaping from slavery in Maryland, he became a national leader of the abolitionist movement in Massachusetts and New York. He taught himself how to read and write and also helped other slaves become literate. He wrote 3 autobiographies describing his experiences as a slave. Frederick Douglass helped people on the Underground Railroad and was an advocate for women's rights. One of his famous quotes was, "Once you learn to read, you will forever be free." I chose Frederick Douglass because he is an example of perseverance. He taught himself how to read and write and became a great figure in American history. And that is it for my first segment of Diamonds. I thank God for listening to student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay. Before we trip out on another song musically, I would like to bring in our panelists to just quickly, well, as long as you need, just expand on Frederick Douglass. And I know we've done them before, but let's do them again. We just passed the 4th of July weekend, and there's a famous quote by Frederick Douglass, "And what does the 4th of July mean to me?" Now, I'm not quoting it exactly, but what does the 4th of July mean to the slave, to be more exact? I want to bring on Tanisha first and chop it up with us. Justin, tell us what you think about Frederick Douglass.
Okay, so it's funny how you say the 4th of July and what it means to us. We still didn't get our reparations, so that says a lot, and especially the laws that have just been passed, especially with the anti-lynching bill. It just makes you think, I guess you see the progress, and then you see the progress that really needs to be made, and just the simple fact of what Frederick Douglass has done, and especially by the power that he had to continue to go on. And I think that speaks volumes, especially in a society now when so many laws are changing and how we have to preserve and protect the family. And I think that's something to really think about, and especially when you think about women's rights. How do a woman respect herself, and how do we put in the morals and the integrity of being a woman and being a mother and being that strength that needs that how she helps her husband or her man. And I think that's very important, and we need to remember who we are as women and as men and how we're supposed to teach the next generation. So just thinking about how Frederick Douglass tied all those things in together is very powerful.
All right. Wow. You got all of that out of there? Okay. Okay. All right. No, that was an excellent comment. I was following you. Mr. Davis, same question. Chop it up with me, man. Talk to me about Frederick Douglass.
There's been numerous books that's been written by great historians on Frederick Douglass, and from Eric Cronner to Du Bois to this, he's the pivotal person in our history. As mentioned before, not only was he fighting for African-American rights, but he was fighting collectively for women's white rights as well, white and black, because he felt as if you can't really have universal freedom rights or rights as human beings if you don't believe in the right for women, first and foremost. So with that dynamic, I think that he was thinking beyond he brought about feminism and the importance of womanhood to the forefront long before it was something thought about in public, even by white slave owners. So that dynamic is very, 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 very interesting in and of itself. We can't read enough about him and know enough about him because there's so much to learn. Studying Frederick Douglass will be a lifelong event because he did so much. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you for that insight and the information to other authors who have also written about him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in the audience, it's time for us to musically kick it off and keep it going, right, with the sounds of Stevie Wonder. And this particular song is titled, and I wonder why, you can figure it out, You Haven't Done Nothing. You know, that section in the song, doo-doo-wop, doo-doo-wop, that's a little bit of Michael Jackson in there. And I forget how the collaboration goes, but, you know, Mr. Harris knows these things. And this is why and what makes him an integral part of this show, right? I just wanted to just bring his name out again, right? And if you got a good ear, you heard that. But now I turn it back over to you. You know what to do, the real deal. Good morning again, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Welcome back, everybody.
It is now time for my next segment on Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was an abolitionist and social activist. Born into slavery, Tubman escaped and rescued approximately 70 enslaved people, including family and friends. In order to rescue the people, she used the Underground Railroad. During the American Civil War, she served as an armed scout and spy for the Union Army. In her later years, Tubman was an activist in the movement for women's suffrage. In 1849, Tubman escaped to Philadelphia. And the reason why I chose Harriet Tubman for one of my segments for today is because I think she is an important figure in African-American history, and she did so much to help people throughout slavery. And that is it for my segment on Harriet Tubman. I thank you guys for listening to my segment. This is Student Host Justin Hill, WSOU.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to chop it up. We're not going to go straight to a song. I'm going to go straight to Mr. Davis this time. Harriet Tubman, women's suffrage, AIDS. I emphasize the word a conductor of the Underground Railroad, meaning not the only one. We spoke about the father of the Underground Railroad, but that we'll save for later. Mr. Davis, talk to me. Harriet Tubman.
Well, the thing is about Harriet Tubman, not only did she free slaves, some people argue historically that she went across 19 times. I would argue that it's been more times that she went across, and she put a life on the line for freedom of African Americans. Not only was she a abolitionist and a freedom fighter, but she was also a nurse, a noted nurse, and she had rank as a military person. And that a lot of people don't realize that she was considered a black dispatcher. And black dispatchers were black spies that was able to maneuver in such a way to be able to get the best results during the war. And in one instance, she saved thousands of men by being able to engage in her espionage expertise and make sure that men were saved during the war, which has been a great situation. So she not only she put her life on the line consistently, and she did so much work as a black dispatcher and supplying and giving information to make sure that the abolitionists on the front lines were saved unconditionally. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. You have, you know, motivated me to make a comment. You know, as we have just experienced the pandemic here globally around the world, you remind me when you talk about her putting her life on the line. It reminds me, and Justin, listen up to this, because many people are afraid to die, but they've never lived. And they do not live with bravery or courage. And when we speak about Harriet Tubman, here's someone who put her life on the line and was not afraid to die. I mean, you just can't be and do the things that she did. You know, and meanwhile, we have people today who are living their lives day to day and complaining about mundane issues in their lives. when you take a look back into history and you'll see who people from our history who put their lives on the line can make a difference, not just for themselves, but for a group of people who had and still do overcome adversity day to day in their lives. Okay? Okay, so that's what you motivated me to say here, Mr. Davis. Tanisha, Harriet, tell me.
I thought that was very interesting, especially what Mr. Davis was just talking about, especially about the information of the military piece and how she strategically and logistically were able to get the slaves out and to help them escape. I was just doing some research, and it was saying how on Sundays, they considered that a day of rest. And so the slave owners really didn't notice when the slaves wasn't there. And it actually gave them like a 2-day head start. And that actually helped them, and that she never lost any of the slaves. And I was like, wow, that is something very powerful in how her mind worked. And like you said, how do we use those strategic measures now? And especially in the times that we are living in. And it was like our ancestors, they were so strong. They were so motivated. I guess maybe because it was right in front of their face and they had to deal with these situations versus our generations now where a lot of things are subliminal. And it's like, how do you pair a nation that's being attacked subliminally and just make us think of that? How we have to search within ourselves to be able to uplift the people right now in this day.
Okay. You have motivated me to speak lastly about Harriet Tubman as it affects us personally in the state of New Jersey, in the largest city, in the city of Newark, where just 2 weeks ago, the mayor, Honorable Ross Baraka, renamed Washington Park in the city of Newark Harriet Tubman Square. He renamed the park Harriet Tubman Square. And I do need to say, because I know there was undercurrent that was trying to persuade the mayor not to rename this particular park. After all, George Washington is one of our founding fathers. Mr. Davis, I'm going to come to you. Tell us the real deal about our founding father, because I think you can do it a little bit more eloquently better than I can, but I'll lay it on the line if you won't, right? Talk about our founding father, George Washington. Mr. Davis, he might have stepped away for a moment,
no,
but he'll
be
back.
The founding fathers of our country agreed and acquiesced with the idea of the slave economy or the slaveocracies of America. And that was
George
the way.
Washington.
Yeah, George Washington was one, but then there's other books there's one book entitled by Dr. Stephanie Rogers Jones that's entitled "They Were Her Property." So in many instances, although in the book it depicts how a lot of the women had more power than the men in terms of slavery. For example, George Washington's wife had more money because she inherited money, so she had more say-so as it relates to slavery. And so there's so many different social dynamics as it relates to slavery, but yes, I would say that majority of the founding fathers understood and agreed and acquiesced with the idea of slaveocracy in America, and that they enslaved not only black men, black women, but also black children to engage them in labor practices for the purposes of their interests. So it wasn't just George Washington. The founding fathers understood the importance and the impact of slavery. It wasn't just George Washington. So that was a part of the American custom and American folkways and mores.
Right. And Justin, just so you understand, that was the rule of the day to have slaves. It was okay, man. Right? And so anytime we rename a park and take somebody's name off, I'm all for it so that we can tell the truth about the story. All right? But
and if you,
let's not get off of subject. The subject at hand is Harriet Tubman. Just to go back to you, I just want to say great job. Right now, I'm going to play a cut called Hustler Suit.
Thank you very much. We'd like to sort of change things up just a little bit for you here. Now here's a song that's about a young man that is widely known throughout the world, especially in my ex-hometown, where I used to live. See, this young man is a very popular young man. And he was standing on a very well-known corner on the south side of my hometown, Chicago. This young man was standing on the corner of 47th and South Parkway, northeast corner. Now there stands a building that houses the Walgreens drugstore. A few other little miscellaneous shops here and there. That's a commercial. And every Friday evening as the people would pass there, they couldn't help but notice this young man. Every Friday around 4:30, this young man would be seen standing on the corner of 47th and South Parkway in front of Walgreens. The young man was standing there because his girlfriend works at Walgreens. And as you all know, Friday the eagle flies. This young man was standing there as the people passed him. As always, they couldn't help but notice him because he was wearing the very popular silk mohair Woolworths Continental to the Bone $250 hustler suit, fresh out the pawn shop. He would also be wearing a pair of highly shined alligator hustler shoes with a very popular white-on-white tab collar shirt, very thin silk hustler's necktie tied around his neck, very large artificial diamond stick pin in place. Now, as they noticed even closer to this young man, they couldn't help but notice around the side of his hat that he was heavily conked to the bone. He was quite patent leatherish about the head. They call it the hustler's hairdo, a process. Many feet, a lot of creases, and all that greasy kid stuff. Sitting pressed upon this very lightly so as not to mess up his hairdo was his very stingy-brimmed hustler's hat. His hustler shades on, cigarette in hand, very broad smile on his face. As you looked around to see what this young man was staring at so hard and why he was so elated at what he saw, you could never notice his automobile parked at the curb. His automobile, white on white in white. The hustlers call him Hogs. The trade name is Cadillac. That's a hustler short long the finance company can't find out where he keeps it parked at night. All of a sudden, this young man noticed people passing him or glancing over their shoulders as they walked down the street. There was some great commotion coming down the street behind them. So he thought he would take a peek and see for himself what all this commotion was. This is what he saw when he looked down the street. With pin curlers and rollers in her hair, head rag tied very tight, very large razor on the left hand, big butcher knife on the right hand, house coat, house shoes, his wife. And she was stepping fast, 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 coming after him, calling him all sorts of dirty names and other things that I can't mention up here. They'll close the place. He made a break for his automobile before getting in the car and get the motor started. She was there cutting up the top, kicking dents in the door. You jive, Marilyn Farmer, out here jiving around the rent ain't paid, the baby's hungry, need shoes, and you had to call yourself pimping and hustling and can on, and all them other good things. He jumped out the car and threw the keys over to him and said, baby, listen, you can have this car and anything else you want. Just don't cut my new suit. I just got out of the pawn shop and I got to have my front so I can keep on making my game. As he turned to walk away, the young man bowed his head slightly. He lifted his stingy brim from his patent leather do and shook it lightly. He wouldn't shake it too hard, you see, because when you wear a process, you have to go to the barbershop every day and get a comb out, and that costs $2. And he hadn't got his money from the lady yet. He began to mumble something as he walked down the street. As you listened closely, you heard the young man saying these words. You could tell he was really troubled. He was saying these words in this manner. He was saying, I, in a world of trouble, I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to be one woman's man, but I am in love with you. One is my treasure, and one is my treat. They are both such a pleasure, cause they're both so sweet. I can't put either of them down. That's why I'm slipping around. Oh, got one more woman than the legal over out. Now judges would jail me and preachers would shout. Bad talk would nail me if the truth got out. Polite society would frown. They would claim that I'm just a clown, living double in a world of trouble. Well now, I do not dare reveal this need that I deeply feel. Cause to my proper friends, it would scare them. Don't you know they would chalk it up to greed? Oh, but what I truly need is a new kind of two. Got a woman and a wife, and that's the kind of situation it could cost somebody's life. Oh, but I'm gonna bear it just as long as I can. No, I don't want to share it with a load of a man. Oh, Lord, have my future.
Okay, I'm gonna bump into the sound of Lou Rawls, and that song was titled Hustler Suit. Right, but it says a lot, and it sparks a whole different conversation. But we're going to stay on path and ask our student host to take it back. And Justin, I know you have two more segments, so I'd like for you to go and just do both of them. Okay, so take it away, take a deep breath, and we're listening.
Welcome back, everybody, again. This is student host Jeff Hill on WSLU. And my next segment is on Medgar Evers. Civil rights activist Medgar Evers was the first state field secretary of the NAACP in Mississippi. As such, he organized voter registration efforts and economic boycotts and investigated crimes perpetrated against black people. Medgar Evers was born on July 2nd, 1925. He additionally finding work as an insurance salesman. Evers soon became involved in the Regional Council of Negro Leadership. While a virtual unknown elsewhere, Evers was one of Mississippi's most prominent civil rights activists. He fought racial injustices in many forms, including how the state and local legal systems handled crimes against African Americans. And my last segment for today is on Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was an American professional basketball player who played shooting guard for the Los Angeles Lakers in the National Basketball Association. Widely regarded as one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Bryant spent his entire 20-year career with the Lakers, where he received numerous accolades, including 5 NBA championships, and was an 18-time All-Star. Outside of basketball, Kobe Bryant has his own shoes called the Nike Dream Kobe One, and founded the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation. After his NBA career, he became an author when he wrote a book titled The Mamba Mentality, while also coaching his daughter's basketball team. And that is it for my last two segments for today's show. Again, I thank you guys for listening to student host Justin Hill, WSOU.
Okay. All right. So we're rounding down with 14 minutes left to our show. And, you know, an hour just seems so long until you start getting into the different content that we deliver each and every week on this particular podcast and exclusively on WSOU from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. This particular platform is Blog Talk Radio. And now I'd like to chop it up, starting with Tanisha. Talk about what you may or may not know about Medgar Evers.
I thought it was very interesting how he pioneered, especially with the civil rights and the voter registration drives, which we still do now to this day. And I think that's very pivotal, and we should understand how voting is very important, especially when you vote someone in, you also have the power to vote people out. And I think we really need to look at that and understand the power of voting, and also the power of going to the particular meetings that understands the laws that are being passed, especially within the cities and the ordinances, and how we can amend them to better suit the residents.
Elections do have consequences, and when people sit back apathetically and do not exercise their civil right to actually vote, it does have a impact on that particular community. All politics are local is another friend of ours, and definitely the title of another radio program. But it is a solid point that all politics is local and very important. And I'd like to add that Medgar Evers was assassinated in front of his house and in front of his family. And that was very unfortunate and tragic. Just one of the stories of the adversity that African Americans have had to overcome living in America. Mr. Davis, talk to me, Medgar Evers, Kobe Bryant, talk to me. Or should I say
yes,
us?
Medgar Evers, we have to remember that a lot of the stuff that the activists were doing, they were doing not as not in their later years, but he was only 37 when he was assassinated. He was assassinated in Mississippi in the South, where racism was part of the customs, supremacy was a part of the corporate culture, was a part of the reality that he existed in. To fight for voters' rights in Mississippi during the time where people was actually still being lynched was dynamic. Was dynamic, and it showed a lot of strength and a lot of consistency. He was steadfast in his approach and making sure that all blacks receive unconditional rights, and he put his life on the line with a test to his interests in being able to make sure that we were all free and we all receive, based on the United States Constitution law, equal protection under the law, and which we still don't have at this point today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Tanisha, what did you think about – look, Tanisha, I know you don't really watch basketball, but, you know, you had to be living under a rock if you don't know who the Black Mamba was and Kobe Bryant. Just quickly tell us what you think about what you thought about Kobe Bryant.
I really don't watch basketball. I know he was very famous. I don't know. You got me on that one. I just know. I don't know too much about Kobe Bryant. I just know he was a basketball player, and he was very. I know he was good at his game.
All right, that's good enough, and it's authentic. Wait till I get to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, I heard that squeaky back door again. What do you know about?
I gotta get that D4.
Kobe Bryant.
Wow. Kobe Bryant was a dynamic basketball player. He in my mind, for one, he played in his whole career for the same team, which is dynamic, and he was. Him and Shaq was doing great things as far as what I've learned and what I've read. And he's going to be forever in my heart in terms of one of the best basketball players ever.
Okay. Oh, no. You're welcome. Thank you. You know, that's really cool. Now, let me go back to our student host. You know, hey, Justin, man, for our curtain segment, we're doing something a little bit different today. Talk to us, or I'll give you a quick second. Who is a musical artist that you can think of off the top of your head that has done something significant, not just musically, but for the community as well?
I would say Michael Jackson.
And quickly, what did Michael Jackson do for the community, for other people?
He went to hospitals. He donated money to charity, and he visited hospitals to give things to children, and yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah. Well, Michael Jackson traveled all over the world, and he did donate money to children who were terminally ill. And, you know, that was definitely heartfelt, you know, and he just didn't perform and make money. You know, he gave back. And that being said, here's a quick song by Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson in the background, and we roll down the 4 minutes left to our podcast. I would like to say one of the musical artists that I'm inspired by, who's done things behind the curtains of the stage that definitely affects the community and others who are less fortunate, is Renaya. I always mess up her name, Rihanna. Right? I didn't realize until we started going in deep on a curtain segment that she was a billionaire, and she's young, right? Our panelists, Tanisha, Rihanna, what do you know about her?
We did a couple of times. I know she did a lot within the community, and also that she's
Okay. And what about Michael Jackson, Shanitra? Ms. Garner?
Yeah, yeah, Michael Jackson, he's a legend. I mean, everybody knows about Michael and all the great things that he has done in music and how he pioneered for all the younger generation to come out, like Chris Brown, Usher, and all the different other artists, especially when it comes to dancing.
Okay, now that being said, who is a musical artist that inspires you?
Mine, I would say, is Nipsey Hussle. A lot of people don't know that he was actually going to work on a documentary before he passed away, on Dr. Sebi, who was a holistic doctor and also an herbalist, and he healed many different diseases. And also, Nipsey Hussle also transformed a part of his community by opening up the Marathon store through retail. So I think that's very pivotal for you to see how his life has changed, you know, from being in the streets to actually being an activist and also a big entrepreneur. That and especially when you listen to his music, he drops a lot of gems in his music that you can take and also put it in your life and also expand and better your life.
Okay. I'm going to go to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, Prince is your choice. I know I just spilled the beans, but talk to us about Prince.
Prince was one of the most liberated artists in terms of being able to control his intellectual property. He had a great lawyer on his side, L. Lindell McMillan, but he fought to make sure that he controlled his intellectual property, whereby if you look at a contract, a lot of artists really probably receive maybe 75 cents off a dollar, 75 cents off each sale of a record. If a record was during that time $18, you're getting 75% and sometimes less, and you still owe as they gave you in advance. He changed all that up for himself. He controlled his own intellectual property. He even told him, you no longer call me Prince. You don't even know my name. And I'm no longer going to be your slave. So he did a lot of great things to change the dynamics of the music industry in terms of controlling the intellectual property for the artists.
Okay. All right. I would like, Justin, to turn it back over to you to close us out for this podcast. I indeed think that we've done an excellent job, and so have you.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tim Hose Justin Hill, and it is now time to close up the show. Today was a great show. We talked about Medgar Evers, Kobe Bryant, and high school artists that give back to the community. This is Questy Radio, which is the best.
Everybody,
the best radio.
All right. Thank you once again for joining us for this podcast. Excellent job, Justin Hill. And thank you, panelists, for doing a great job. And now, musically, we take it away, and we'll see you next week. Great job, everyone, and thank you.